Amen. You still remember that great day, didn't you? Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior, my God. Now, why is it a happy day? It's a happy day because we had an encounter. The Apostle Paul had a tremendous encounter with the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus. And the Lord spoke to him in a very real way. And when he came to write many things about it, one thing he said was this, as recorded in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think one of the greatest symbols in the world today is the symbol of the cross, because it's a symbol of Christianity. It's a symbol of where we come from, and spiritually it's a symbol of what, of many things, but you know, it also tells us what it costs for that happy day. The cross is a very powerful sign, isn't it? I'm always amazed at some of the people I see wearing crosses today. It's strange. So you see some really strange people. People with tattoos all over their body, and then they've got a cross on. And I often love to stop them and ask them if they know what the cross means. Then I look at their tattoos and their muscles, and I think, well, if I don't want to meet the Lord today, I maybe won't ask them that question. But you know, it's amazing how many people, although not committed to the cross, love the symbol of the cross. But to those of us who've had a happy day, the cross means a lot more than just a symbol that we hang round our neck. There's something gold that we put here. In fact, the cross was something that was very, very, in its own right, was something that was very plain and certainly not very exciting. One of the great visits we had was to the Colosseum in Rome. Now in Rome, of course, there are crucifixes, and of course you know the difference between a crucifix and a cross, don't you? There are some people who want to leave Christ on the cross, but excuse me, hallelujah, he's off the cross and he's risen from among the dead. We don't wear a crucifix and we don't carry crucifixes. But when I went into the Colosseum and there in Rome, that was where the Christians, those who would not renounce their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and said, I'm going to live for him, that was those who really believed what Paul said in Philippians 1 and 21, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." Can you imagine that? And going in there, and Nero was a wicked, wicked man. And what he used to do, he'd put them all around the stadium, and then he would light them up. He would burn the Christians and use them as lights in the stadium. What a horrible man. And what a wicked man. Or he would feed them to the lions, and they would go straight from the stadium to heaven. But one of the things that hit me when I went into the stadium and I looked around, and we had just come from the Vatican, where everything was idols and statues and everything all over the place and crucifixes, was simply in the way there at the side was standing, and I took a photograph of it. I was just looking at it the other night, and standing there simply was a plain cross. No words on it, no message on it, but the cross doesn't need a message, does it? It speaks on its own. What does it speak about? It speaks, first of all, that God loves me. Now, you and the folks, unless you've got very good eyesight, will not see this. You'll be like the man who went to the optician, and the man in the optician said, "Will you read the writing on the wall?" And he said, "What wall?" Now, you will not see this here, but it says here, God loves me. Oh, but you see the cross, that's what the cross tells us, doesn't it? A wonderful text said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have our everlasting life. And so one of the things I learned, that God loves me. Now there are three words I want to leave you with tonight. I want you to remember them. And we were singing solemnly that wonderful old hymn. I remember when I first became a Christian, we used to sing it. We used to stand in a Saturday night and a whole group of us and we'd sing that. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the bounding of a sheep, be in time. If in sin you longer wait, you may find no open gate, and your cry may be too late, be in time. And so the first thing I want just to leave you with, the first word I want to leave you, is that the cross tells us we are loved. God loved us. He didn't say get cleaned up first. He said, no, I love you. And because I love you, I'm going to make it possible for you to get cleaned up. But you see, the cleaning up didn't come first. The love came first. In fact, the love came, and this always excites me when I think of it. And I say this reverently. It was like, God must have had a board meeting in eternity past. And there, away there, and Peter tells you about it in Acts chapter 2, and he says, you know, talking about the Lord coming and dying on the cross, he says, he was delivered up by the determined counsel of God. God's plan was there. When? When he came to earth? No, it was there long before he came to earth. He loved us. He loved us. And he did something about our condition. And so we discover that the cross tells me that love, that God loved me. God loved you. Isn't that wonderful? When you see a cross, remember that God loves you. You don't need words to tell you that. Just look at the cross. And when you see a plain cross, it just tells you what? That God loved me and gave his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to do something. He did something. He died for my sins on the cross. Isn't that lovely? He didn't have any sin. He never had to apologize. He never had to say, I'm sorry. He never had to say I was wrong. He never had to say I beg your pardon if I hurt you. He spoke straight. He spoke the truth. He never lied. Because, you see, he was God's wonderful son. But when he came to earth, there on the cross, he did something that was absolutely wonderful. He died for my sins. He gave his life a ransom that I might be eternally saved. This one's not standing up. There it is now. My friend Mike is holding it up for me. There it is. So what the cross tells me, what? That I am loved. Ah. But the cross tells me I am lost. I don't know my way. I'm lost in trespasses. I'm lost in sin. But Jesus Christ came and he took all that which was in my heart, that sin, and he died on the cross. And you know why he died? Because, yes, Jesus saves. Yes, Jesus Christ. You see, the cross, without saying anything, tells us that God loved us. The cross, plain, tells us that he died for our sins. The cross tells us, yes, Jesus saves. And that's wonderful to know that, that Jesus saves. And you know, you when you give your heart and your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a wonderful thing. Now, have you ever been lost? Ever been lost? It's an awful feeling, isn't it? I remember one day we went out shopping with our little Kenneth. He's not little now. Those of you who know him, he's as big as, bigger than me now. And, but he was just a little boy, just like some of them. And we went into this shopping center in Aberdeen where we were living in Scotland. And suddenly we realized that Kenneth wasn't with us. Oh, it was an awful feeling when we began to think about it and we began to look at it and we discovered that Kenneth wasn't with us. We began to get worried and we began to do something that God did for us. We began to look. And we looked everywhere we could go. And there was a lower hallway and there was a big stair and he was doing what little boys like to do. He had been crawling up and down the stair. And when he was crawling up and down the stair, the interesting thing was this, that when he was crawling up and down the stair, of course people had been walking. And it was all dirty. And suddenly, one of the times he came to the top of the stair, and you know what he discovered? He was lost. And he began to cry. And he did what little boys do when they begin to cry. He put his dirty hands on his face. And when you put water and dirt together, you get mud, don't you? And there was his black little face, and there were two rivers running down it. And I remember, we saw this crowd of people around this little boy, and we looked, and I only said one word. I said, Kenneth, and he looked up, and he came running. Do you know why? Because he knew he was loved, and he knew that we were looking for him. And you know, the hymn writer says this, I was lost, but Jesus found me, found a sheep that went astray, through his loving arms around me, drew me back into his way. What a message the cross gives us, isn't it? Tells us about a man who had 100 sheep and he lost one, but he went out and searched for it. Tells us about a lady who had 10 coins and she lost one. She searched for it till she could find it. Tells us about a boy who said, Dad, I want what I'm due. And I don't want it when you die. I want it now. And took it away and spent it until he had nothing. And then one day he said, I'm going to come home. Can you imagine somebody telling that story in a dance hall? Can you imagine someone telling that story at a rock and roll dance with a whole load of over 1,000 teenagers? Can you imagine that? Anyone telling that story? Well, that's the story I heard. That's the story I heard. And he told this story about him coming home and how in the presence of the angel there was rejoicing that the boy that had been lost was found. The coin that was lost was found. The sheep that was lost was found. And so we discover this tonight, my dear friends, that the cross and the message of the cross is simply this, that we have been loved, that we without Christ are lost. If you don't have a happy day in your life, you're lost. It begins with a happy day. It goes on with a happy day. But if you don't have a happy day, you're lost. But let me say this, my dear friends, where there was something else that I wanted to leave you with. The cross tells us that we can have eternal life. Because you see, when Jesus died on the cross, he died to be the Savior. I take him as my Savior. That's what I do when I trust him on the cross, when I give my life to the Lord Jesus. I took him, and there I was standing with all these teenagers, and I didn't do it that night. I thought about it, and the more I thought about it, the more I realized I needed it. And I realized that I needed a Savior in my life. Now you know the gospel. And you know you're loved by God. And you know that Jesus came into the world and died for you. And when you see a cross, you know that he died for your sins. But you've never done anything about it. You've never done anything about it. Isn't that sad? You've never taken him as your Savior. And you see, if you're going to get well, you've got to take the medicine that makes you well. And when you take that medicine, it may make you well and you'll get better. But here we discover that when you and I, by faith, come to Jesus Christ, we ask the Lord Jesus to come into our lives, and he comes into our lives, and through what he did on the cross, we're saved. And we have that happy day. You see, we were singing about life at best is very brief. You don't have to be an old fellow like me to die. Do you know that? We used to live next door to a cemetery, and we'd go around the cemetery. You know the thing that amazed us? All ages were there. There's no cemeteries for old folks. Did you know that? It's for everybody. And everybody is there. They were young, middle-aged. They were older. They were very old. And they were all there. And you know what? None of us know the hour or the day. In fact, the Bible says, behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Can I challenge you, some of you big teenagers back there, you're getting in and you're beginning to flex your physical muscles and you're getting out and the world seems so good and there's someone comes along and offers you something in a bottle or something like this, or you turn on the television and it says, well, that's okay to go and do this and that and the other. And you listen to them and you get your life in a mess. But you know, my friends, if you let Jesus Christ into your life, he changes all that. Do you know why? Because he gives you a new life. But it doesn't stop there. He gives you the power to live that new life. That's what it's about. Now, it's been great to be with you, and I love being with you. I would like to be with you longer. Do you know how long I'd like to be with you? I'd like to be with you forever. Oh no, I'm not going to stay in Spanish well forever, so all those of you who are getting worried there, don't worry about it. But I can be with you forever. Because you see, there's one day, you know, I'm going home, I'm on my way home, not to Pennsylvania, I'll be that next week, but I'm on my way home to heaven. And I get home to heaven, I'm going to meet other Christians who have gone on before me, and we're all going to be in heaven together. Why? Because of the cross, and because of a happy day in our lives when Jesus became our Savior. And we trusted him, and we said, Lord, we want to give you our lives. You come into our lives and save us and forgive us our sin. We're turning from it. And if you're a Christian, I've got news for you. Do you know you're going to live with me for the rest of eternity? Don't look so worried about it. Some of you are looking terribly worried about it and say, oh no, I thought the Behenge would take him away. No, it's the Lord Jesus is going to take me away. Amen? And he's going to take you to my home and we'll be together forever. If you have trusted Jesus, and you know, sometimes, all the times when I take a funeral, I always look at the casket, and it's usually someone I know and I love. I did a young man not so long ago, and I always say, his name was John. And I put my hand on the casket at the end of the message and I said, good night, John. I'll see you in the morning. Isn't that lovely? Good night. A Christian doesn't say goodbye. He says good night. I'll see you in the morning. Isn't that lovely? Think of the wonderful people we're going to see from Spanish Wells on that golden daybreak, eh? When Jesus shall come. Wonderful people. People who used to be here. A wonderful day. But they're there today because they took Jesus as the Savior. Have you been to the cross? The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home, and it's sweet to know, as I onward go, that the way of the cross leads home. The cross tells me God loves me. The cross tells me that Jesus died for my sins. Oh yes, the cross tells me that I can take him as my Savior. And I am so glad. I'm so saved. I'm saved tonight. How about you? Just think about a moment. We're just going to close. Think about it tonight. Have you trusted him? Let's just suppose something. And it could be possible. That these doors there, out of this church tonight, out of the chapel, this side is time, the other side's eternity. And you go through that door, where are you going? Or are you like the sticker they used to have in Britain on the back of cars? It just simply said, don't follow me, I'm lost. What a shame, isn't it? Wouldn't you like to be saved tonight? Well, you've got to do something about it. You've got to ask the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, in your life. Let's just pray now. Let's pray and do that. And maybe just in the solemnity of this moment has been a night when we've been contemplating some wonderful things. Maybe you're a boy, a girl, a teenager. In your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, maybe you're older. And tonight, you want to receive Christ as your Savior. Just simply, in your heart, say, Lord, I realize tonight that the cross tells me you love me. It tells me that I'm lost. And it tells me that you can save me. I turn from that sin in repentance tonight, and I ask you to save me now. Come into my life and save me now. Oh Father, touch everybody tonight. Put that passion within our lives, and we thank you that you love us. And oh Father, wouldn't it be wonderful if somebody got saved tonight, right here, and trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you when we were lost for seeking us. And thank you, Lord, for those of us who trusted you for saving us. You're still doing it, Lord Jesus, and we love you for it. Thank you and bless everyone here tonight for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's sing just the last verse of number 50. I wonder if maybe our organist would get the correct key for me. Number 50 in your book, Since I Met That Blessed Savior. I think it's 50. This is the last one. Our meeting is over. But if you're here tonight, my, there's so many men here tonight. I see all these evangelists around the place here tonight who could lead you to the Lord, who could pray with you. And I'd be happy to do it as well. And it's number 51, the last verse, Since I Met This Blessed Savior. Thank you. Of number 51, think about it. Have you ever experienced that? Since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. Why? Because I'm in the happy day club, amen? I'm with those who are saved, wonderfully heading homeward and upward. I'll praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. Thank you, dear.